sense to you now, Sandy Beach. Beach and Company.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Beach and Company, and I'm Sandy Beach. Boy, the new normal is taking an effect on all of us. This is closed, that's closed. The only thing that's going on is Joe Biden's campaign. And the reason he can go on is that the rules are only against large gatherings. So he can be on the road and be legal. Hello, it is Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach, and we got a lot to talk about today, including I have an update from a lady who has been on several of our trips, who called in yesterday. She was in Florida. And she lives here, but she was in Florida and she wanted to come home. So she decided to drive with her golden retriever, Sam. And so Deborah is on her way here. So she checked in yesterday on my email. Hi, Sandy. Great to talk to you today. All the rest areas in Florida were open with clean restrooms. There's a fair number of cars and trucks on the road, but traffic moved right along. For cars going south on I-95 from Georgia into Florida, there was another roadblock with state police pulling over all cars into a truck way station. Driving on the I-95 in Georgia, and the heavens open, and it was really pouring. The emergency warning came on the radio that there was a tornado and severe thunderstorm in the area. Just at that moment, I looked up, and there was my exit, a very happy sight. My motel was right near the exit, and I did not need to go to a truck stop. Because I said to her yesterday, you know, everything's iffy. Food's iffy, lodging's iffy, but if you pull into a truck stop, a lot of those trucks have sleeper cabs, and she said, oh, you bad boy. So that's that. So she's on her way home, and she said distance traveled 420 miles. So far, so good for Deborah. All right, guys, I heard the last part of your show last night. Mr. Beamer sounded good, and you were home, right?
That's right, live from my kitchen in Orchard Park. And for the second night, great interaction, calls, text. I appreciate everyone who tuned in. And yeah, Sandy, like I said yesterday, I am so jealous of you and Brian because now I know the luxuries you both have.
Oh, we do. We're home. As soon as the show is over, you're home. You can walk from here. In my case, I get done at noon. Walk from here about 15 steps and have dinner, lunch, actually. Now, Tony, I'm talking to Tim Wenger because I came up with a great idea. I think we ought to mic up your house like we are, because I think the audience would love to have your daughter and your son romping around on the airwaves. We've seen what you do every day.
That wouldn't be a good idea. They're at each other's throats right now.
Well, yeah, they're kids. You know, their attention span is fairly limited.
Yeah, you can only handle so much of the things that Samantha wants to watch, and she has no interest in the things that Nick wants to do. So
well,
that sort of dynamic.
Their age difference, they're going to like different things. But there's such a variety and such a volume of things on television, either directly on regular TV or cable or streaming. I mean, there's all kinds of things to watch.
I try to get through to them that they are lucky that this is happening at this time period as opposed to when I was a kid. We had four channels to look to watch, and it was – neither of the channels were geared towards kids unless it was Saturday morning.
Well, when I was a kid, there I was watching TV on a sick day at school. Next thing you know, there's banging on the door. It's Paul Revere telling us that the British are coming. And so I couldn't even finish my TV show. I hated it when that
You'll
happened.
Never let him live that down.
No. I the last time I told this joke, I told it the wrong way. Okay, it's very seldom, if I'm going to tell a joke, it's very seldom that I follow it up, okay? But I did last time, right on the punchline, too. So I'll do it again. The story of Paul Revere. Paul Revere finds out the British are coming, and it's up to him to warn the people that the British are coming, okay? So he gallops up to the first house, bangs on the door. A woman comes to the door. He says, the British are coming. She says, I'll tell my husband. So he gets on his horse and goes to the next house. Knocks on the door. The British are coming. A woman says, okay, I'll tell my husband. Goes to the third house. The British are coming. And the woman says, my husband isn't home. And Paul Revere goes, whoa.
Oh, man.
Oh. Well, she didn't mind because he was known as one of the Minutemen.
Here come the
complaints.
Hey,
I like to start the show with a little levity there. That's just the way to do it. Boy, I heard the owner of the Grapevine and the things that they have ready for a takeout sound really good. And really good packaging. Grapevine has good food. I know that. Van Miller for years told us about how good the Grapevine food is, and it is. So he's got good food, and it's packaged up nicely for families. So there's big family size. This isn't a commercial, but just hearing the interview. So it's family size servings, so you can really dig in. Because I don't know about you, but when you're stuck in the house, don't you want to eat more? Don't you eat
yes.
more often?
I think you need to because it, I don't know if it relaxes you or triggers in the endorphins, but it puts you in a better mood.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying not to snack.
Because
if you do, especially you give yourself permission to snack when you're shut in here. Now we know what they used to say. Our shut-ins, because we are shut in by the government telling us not to go outside. But it sounds like right now it's an advisory, but who knows? They might make it permanent. If they do, you'll hear about it here.
It seems like the highlight of the week now is deciding where you're going to order out from.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Yeah.
Highlight of your day. I mean, I finished breakfast. I'm thinking, all right, what's for lunch? What's for dinner? Last night, we tried to be healthy. Katie made this delicious soup. We had that right before I went on air. As soon as I got off the air, we polished off an entire bag of salt and vinegar chips and an entire tub of bison French onion dip.
We had ravioli with Italian sauce, obviously, a lot of cheese, some nice salad. I have to have a salad. I have a salad every day. I have more greens than my lawn, okay, during the course of a week because Bernadette wants me to stay healthy, at least until after the marriage is taking place. So that's that. And our garlic bread, we had garlic bread on cheesy bread. It was garlic
Ooh,
cheesy bread.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's real nice. For dessert, some grapes and Jell-O and grapes. It's one of my favorite desserts, and she has it ready for me at all times. Now we'll take a break and return on News Radio 930. This is WBEN. Tony, you were saying this is the anniversary of a very long-running television Western.
Yeah, Gunsmoke ended on this date in 1975.
And Gunsmoke was on, when it retired the show, it was on for the most number of years of any TV show. So congratulations to Gunsmoke. I was just thinking, we could do Gunsmoke with our broadcast team here. I can see it now. Gunsmoke, starring Sandy Beach as Matt Dillon, Tony Caligiuri as Quint the Muscular Blacksmith, and Joe Beamer as Festus. What do you think?
There you go.
Festus was he was played by Ken Curtis, and if you don't know this, Ken Curtis was a big band singer, and he was a good singer.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, in fact, you can go online if you got absolutely no life, but you might have time because we're all kind of stuck in the house. Go online and look up Ken Curtis. And look him up as a singer, and you'll find out he can really sing, and he doesn't have that goofy accent. You know, it's amazing. Half of the shows we have now have actors in them who are English but use American accents. It started a few years ago with House, where the lead in House was English, but he had a great American accent. And now there's a show called The Good Doctor, in which the lead... Freddie Highmore, who is the lead actor, plays a person with a bit of an accent, and he's English as well. And if you see any interviews with him, he uses his regular, normal speaking voice and patterns. So it's really interesting.
Love to the ground.
Oh, okay, a little Western music. Oh, the Sons of the Pioneers. Oh, is that Ken Curtis?
That is, with Tumbling Tumbleweeds.
Turn it up a little so I can hear it. There we go.
Cares of the past are behind.
Now, that doesn't sound like Festus, does it? But it is. So, very, very good. Yeah, I stumbled across that once. I'm big on Westerns. I love Westerns. And found that, and I was amazed by it. Very, very talented. And everybody, at one time or another, starting their career, started with a role in Gunsmoke. If you watch Gunsmoke, it's just a book on the best Western stars of the period. All right, let's see. What else are we going to be doing today? Today it's to mask or not to mask. I feel very Shakespearean today. That is the question, because some people say you should mask to keep the germs out. Some people say you should mask to keep you from spreading germs to other people. Some say you shouldn't mask at all because we don't have enough masks and they're better used by hospital personnel when treating others. So I can understand that. First of all, in the discussion, yesterday, I see that Andrew Cuomo announced that his brother, Chris, had tested positive. So we're seeing that is no respecter of rank or position or fame or money or anything else. You got to take care of yourself. The reason I decided to do this today, first of all, is an ongoing subject, and the CDC may be considering have everybody mask up. But a lot of healthcare professionals don't think that it's really going to help you that much. Had to go to the post office yesterday. It was essential. So Bernadette, she wore gloves, and she wore a mask, and went into the post office in which nobody wore a mask. Nobody wore gloves. She was the only one. I was sitting outside for maybe 10 minutes, and all the traffic in and out of the post office, I didn't see one person wearing a mask. Anecdotally, guys, have you, when you were outside of the building, have you seen anybody wearing a mask?
I've seen people wearing masks at bus stops. I've seen it at the store when I've gone there. I'm not getting around too much. So, but wherever I go, I do see people with masks, even walking the sidewalk.
Okay, so you've seen them. I haven't. How about you, Buzzy?
Yes. Now, downstairs where they're taking the temperature of the patients, that nurse always has...
There is a medical office on the first floor. Okay.
Yep, and then I've seen a couple at Tops or Wegmans or Target. And like Tony said, I've seen a few people when they're just out for a stroll with a mask on as well.
Well, Bernadette said that when she was at the counter, one other person had a mask on. And a third person, not her, laughed at them, that the two people with masks on, Bernadette and the other woman in there, that's just rude and stupid. If people want to go the extra mile, even if it just helps them psychologically, it shows that you're aware of the situation rather than just ignoring it.
I've seen scarves, handkerchiefs, surgical masks.
Yeah, I keep an extra pair of Fruit of the Looms just in case, because for one thing, I can use them as a jacket or as a mask. So I have the advantage of being multi-talented.
I've seen pictures of some questionable things that people have put on their face to cover up.
I think that one of the things that Pam Anderson is known for. I've seen men wearing those. They cut them in half, okay, and then they take the strap and stretch it around the back.
I've seen
but
that too.
That's just for fun. Later on, they put them on because they might actually help. Well, it'll help your peace of mind, I can tell you that. Why, look, isn't that Pam Anderson? She looks vaguely familiar. All right, we'll be back with... No, it's the water tower at East Aurora. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN. you're back with Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. I've always said that television is a glamorous medium, except for one reason why I would never have wanted to be in it, besides being ugly, as a secondary reason. And that is they have to get dressed all the time. They're always dressed up, and they wear makeup. And especially, like, sometimes if they do, like, an early and a late newscast, they leave the makeup on. It stays on until the last one. They don't take it off. And so I'm thinking thing I like to see on TV now that they're sequestered, they're in their own homes, is that they can be casual. So there, I checked Channel 7, and Aaron Mankowski is wearing a suit. He was wearing a suit. Buzzy, you got to talk to that boy.
Well, I guess his boss already has and said, you know, you can loosen it up a little bit. No suit tomorrow. Maybe a button-up. You can ditch the tie. So yeah. Aaron's been told, you know, the suit just a little much for sitting at your desk at home.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, what's his idea of casual? Loosening the top button so that it's behind the tie or something? So we'll see what he wears for casual.
Yeah, a lot different than what I think casual is. I had, you know, my Speedo on during the first hour last night. So.
Oh, the Speedo. You had it on during the broadcast.
Well, that's what we'll tell people.
Well, I might be able to top you because I am working on duplicating the interview that Rick Azar did with O.J. Simpson in the locker room after a game that caused a furor. The audience just went berserk, and all of the berserk calls came to me because I was the program director at the time. I'm working on that. It hasn't happened yet.
Because Reggie McKenzie has something to do with that.
I think, yeah, he may have had a little something to do with it. But it was O.J. being interviewed like O.J. had never been interviewed before, and probably since. Now that he was in jail, maybe. But until he went to jail, I guarantee you it was an exclusive. All right, the question today, because the CDC is thinking, they haven't announced anything yet, of requiring a mask for anybody leaving their home. There's the jury is really out on this because a lot of the healthcare professionals don't think that's a good idea. But they don't think it's a good idea for a variety of reasons. They don't think it's a good idea because it's not that effective unless you've got one of those high zoot suit masks and not just a regular mask that you buy at the drugstore. They don't help you that much. Psychologically, it might be a big help, but actually, medically, not that much. And we heard the gentleman from Roswell and the gentleman from Weymouth, Massachusetts, say the same thing. We barely have enough, or don't in some cases have enough masks for the healthcare professionals who are treating patients. So the last thing they want is to run out of masks because civilians are wearing them and using them all up, and they're not that effective. When we first heard about masks, see, we always think, oh, put a mask on and you're totally safe. When we first heard about them, we heard that unless you get the right mask and know how to even put it on, you could get one of those zoot suit masks and not know how to put it on, and unless it's sealed, it's not going to be much help. So my attitude is if they asked me to mask, I would. Whether it helps or not, I don't think it can hurt, to be honest with you. And there's a lot of arguments on both sides of this. There's no definitive answer yet. But I have heard more doctors and healthcare people say no than say yes. In fact, I've heard hardly anyone say yes. So I say that if they said it, I would definitely do it without question. Tony, how about you?
Yeah, I guess I would wear it if they told me that it's recommended that I do so.
Yeah, and you want to set a good example for your children, too.
Yeah, and I want people to be safe.
Yeah, good. How about you, Buzzy? Would you wear the mask?
On the phone.
Oh, he's on the phone.
Yes.
Okay.
He's taking care of our callers.
Yeah, is he wearing a mask on the phone?
I'm sorry to report, no.
He put the mask on the phone?
Yeah. masks.
We want to make sure everybody.
The phone is masked.
The phone is yeah, we put masking tape, actually, on the phone. So I'd like to hear from you, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, and *930. Do you favor wearing a mask if it's not just if it's required, but just if it's available to you? Do you favor it? Boy, a lot of things have been mobilized. If you watch the afternoon and late morning and early afternoon, usually press conferences, all kinds of big corporations stepping up to the plate. They're gearing up. Think about it. You go from making widgets to making the machinery that they need that they're short of, and that's complicated machinery. It's not easy stuff to do. Let's go to Ann on line one. Ann, you're on WBEN.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you wearing a mask, Ann?
No.
Well, that's good because we don't want to cover up that pretty face. Would you wear a mask if it was available?
No.
Okay, tell me why.
And I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Because a lot of people, I think that's silly. It's a lot of people that have breathing problems, and they cannot wear those things on them.
That's true. Yes, that's something I should have mentioned. That's true. If you have some kind of breathing problem, it's tough to wear those masks.
Yeah, and when I went to the grocery store the other day, and it wasn't a whole lot of people that was in there that have on masks. And what makes me not nervous, what I look at is that we have a control freak governor. And when if we don't be mighty careful, when we look up, we're going to be in a third world country. And everybody gonna be running around with masks and elbow bumping and all that.
Well, that's right. You're elbow bumping instead of shaking hands. You're wearing a mask instead of actually showing what your real face looks like.
I tell you something right quick. I trust God. And I know God's going to take care of me. And all this other stuff, I'm not thinking about that stuff. And that's the reason. Because, first of all, they really don't know what it is. And a lot of people going to die taking that extra medication that they're trying to swap on them. And they're going to tell lies and say it's that virus. And it's not going to have nothing to do with that virus. It's going to be that stuff. That medication that they gave them.
I hear you loud and clear, Ann. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the call. So Ann said no. She does not think that if she had a choice, that she would not wear a mask. And yeah, we're asking you basically if you had a choice. If the CDC says we have to, then we have to. But if they don't say it, and I think it'd be hard for them to go against the doctors who are on the front lines of this stuff. But I think it'd be fun to go to Walmart wearing a purple spandex mask. Wouldn't that be cool? I think that would be really neat. Let's take a break and return on News Radio 930. This is WBEN. On line one is my, let's say, newlywed sister, the lovely Sandra, and she's calling from Florida. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? I know you got out of Buffalo just in time after your wedding, went to Florida before the virus really hit or was widely known. So everybody okay in your house?
Everybody is okay in my house, but I called about your mask topic.
Yes, what about it?
I was using grocery delivery so that I didn't have to leave the house too much because I am at high risk. And now Instacart is on strike, which provides grocery delivery services for many stores. So I had to go out yesterday. And
doesn't Instacart have any competition? Isn't there another company that would do that isn't on strike?
Not really. Not in this area that I live in Daytona.
Okay. So you had to go to the grocery store. Did you wear a mask?
I did because my doctor provided me with many masks because I am at high risk. So I have one and so does my husband. So I wore that and I also had to wear my eyeglasses so I can read the labels. So short of a full body condom, I was pretty much covered up.
Now, I noticed the other day we were talking about Texas pulling over cars from Louisiana and turning them back if they couldn't prove that they were going to be sequestered for 2 weeks. And I read today that Georgia, the same thing's happening in Florida. Florida officials are pulling over cars from Georgia and doing the same thing. Are you aware of that? Have they been talking about that on the news out of Florida?
Yes, Governor DeSantis had put that order into effect a couple of days ago, and they have shown on the news how they're turning some cars around. But some counties here have closed their beaches. Some have not. Daytona, as of this point, has not. And whenever my husband drives by to do any errands, the beach is full. You can tell from the parking lot that the beach is full, and I don't understand people not taking this seriously. Yes.
Now, you told me that last time I talked to you, and I mentioned it on the air. It's a serious situation. I don't know why Daytona wouldn't. I know that tourism is a big part of their revenue stream. However, I think it's really irresponsible for them to keep the beach open.
It is. And yesterday there was a news item that we had had Bike Week, which is a big motorcycle rally that happened actually while I was in Buffalo getting married. And they announced that one of the men that had been up here from the Miami area had just died from corona. And it listed all the places he had been in, because that's when he was in incubation period, is when he was up here. And he had been in 4 or 5 restaurants up here, not to mention numerous bars. And now everybody should be aware that this is nothing to fool around with. Yet yesterday, except for some grocery workers, nobody had a mask on in the grocery store. And I understand some health officials say that it's not effective, but it's effective not to inhale anything if someone sneezes or coughs. And also by covering your eyes, which I did with my eyeglasses because they're a necessity, you're not getting it in your mucous membranes and your eyes. So I don't understand what it's going to take for some people to understand this is not a hoax. I mean,
I think people, I've always said this, people want to make their own mistakes. You can't keep people from making mistakes. So for some reason, it doesn't matter if you say this is what's going to happen to you if you do this, because I have firm proof, they'll still do it. It's amazing to me how people are not willing to listen. However, I think that as this the toll rises, and in New York, that's going to be within the next couple of weeks, it'll be at the apex. I think people are going to have to start paying attention. I personally think that anybody that breaks a curfew like the beach and just floods to the beach, and then they take it from there to wherever they go, to their home, to a club, to a bar, whatever, I think should be arrested. I really do. I'm normally not a big guy for the heavy hand of the federal government or the state government, but in this case, I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, many of our counties have now put in force a curfew that you can't be out after 10 p.m. or before 5 a.m. You can't be on the street at all, which I think is a good idea. And during the press conference yesterday with Governor DeSantis, where you could make comments, it was a podcast as well, everyone was commenting, shut down Florida totally, because
wow,
the spread of it is getting ridiculous. We're afraid to do anything. And people like my next-door neighbor, who's very young, she's 21, and I know her well. She takes care of my pets when I'm away. And
yeah, quickly.
I said to her the other day, you really got to take things more seriously. And she said, oh, I'll be fine. So that's
okay. Well, keep spreading the good word down there. Always good to talk to you, and Married Life obviously agrees with you. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN.